stress your constitution.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's the time of the morning that we discuss business affairs, we discuss issues of politics, economics, and continental development. And everybody's speaking about development, everybody's speaking about changes. We are at the beginning of the year, and all the preparations, all the arrangements, especially regarding people going back to school, people starting school, and also parents looking for schools for their kids. And you also find students, particularly the most important one at this point in time, although everybody is important, is a first-year student, and indeed the final-year students, because you are entering the system, and there are also those who are existing the system to enter another one, especially the working world. But it's quite very important when you speak about information sharing, information clarification. That's why today, from the hour of 7 there, we are going to be joined by the manager of PR, manager of public relations from the University of Namibia, that is Simon Namesho. He's going to join us from the hour of 7 there to 7:15. If you have questions based on UNAM application, clarification, subsidized education, you will be able to join us live, and you can be able to call in from the hour of 7 there, especially if you need clarification. UNAM will come for you, and you will also be able to speak with them. It's always very good, very important also to have clear information on what is happening, on what is needed, and also for us not to end up making mistakes. So we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM Namibia. And, you know, as we are always indicating to you that, you know, you need to start your day afresh. You need to start your day afresh. And we always try to make sure that when it comes to wise words which are guiding people, which have been guiding wise men who have been living for many years, and also who understood life, how things are working. It's quite very important. When you are waking up, you understand, you know, the causes and the meanings of things. And that's why today we are indicating to you that this is quite a very beautiful phrase, especially from African proverbs, which is indicating that a hyena that is eating a pregnant goat is not the wise. Hyena that is eating a pregnant goat is not wise for your interpretation. Is that, you know, that of who destroy an opportunity that could have been used for long-term gain, or that of who destroy his investment for short-term pleasure, will not be happy in the future. Because you look at long-term, you look at how things that are in front of you will be able to assist you in the future, and not to take everything for granted. Because, you know, in the laws of the jungle, animals, they also understand. For you who watch, you know, Geoworld, that show, that people are also able to watch, you know, animals in the jungle, the way they behave, you'll be able to understand that no matter how hungry the lion is, it will never chase a pregnant zebra, pregnant gazelle, because they understand that if they do that, in the future they are not going to eat. That is why, as an individual, it's quite very important when you have the investment that either is your education, either is an opportunity that you are given, either is money that you place somewhere, do not destroy that just for short-term pleasure, but to make sure that you are like that wise hyena who say, no, let me chase the other one, but I will not chase the pregnant one, because that is the future. That is why when it comes to futuristic thinking, something that we still need to learn, something that we still need to be taught, because what we see in most cases, especially what we learn from wise investors, is the results of long-term or what is known as compound interest. And that does not only apply to money, but it also applies to the way we do things. And sometimes we think an individual, or we maybe think that, no, this opportunity that I got is just lunch for me. Just lunch for me. But little did you know that that is your long-term investment. And unwise hyena thinking that, you know, the pregnant goat is just for lunch, then realize that he is ending the food chain, and he is also ending the long-term supply. That is why respect and also understand the quality and also the value of things, people, and also opportunity. That's why that is what we're indicating for you today. But before we go to the conversation for today, because in the early morning scoop for today, we'll be looking at work with what you have, win with what you have, and also be creative with what you have, because in most cases we look outward. In most cases we look outward, we write a proposal for external funders to invest in us and also to assist us, but little did we know that when it comes to the solution to our own problems, whether it's a solution in terms of opportunity, whether it's a solution in terms of good governance, all those things they have to start with us. And also we need to fight with what we have, because that is the only way that we are going to succeed in our long-term national developmental projects. And Uganda, you know, starting with Uganda. Uganda, president-elect and the sitting president, Yoweri Museveni, has indicated that the opposition parties, they were very lucky, to secure those 24% of the votes, because not all his people, not all his supporters have shown up. Not all his supporters have shown up, because Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni told the nation on Sunday that his landslide election victory showed the dominance of his party, which has governed East African country for over 4 decades now. And in this case, he stated that, opposition party was three. That is people's power. And Bobby Wine was very lucky, because his people did not show up. 10 million of my people did not turn up, and the position would have been embarrassed. Those are the words of the sitting president and the president-elect of Uganda. That is Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. It's a very interesting character. It's a very interesting figure in African politics. And also, not only in terms of the politics, but you also need to look at what work, what policy he's standing for, what is his investment. And also, you know, sometimes when you look at, apart from years of Museveni being in power, when you look at the reasoning behind, when you look at the projects in Uganda, when you look at statistic of World Bank and IMF, you realize to say it's only maybe the long-term leadership or failure also to look at transition. And also, apart from transition, it's also filling the generational gap, because there is always a statement to say a best dancer know when to leave the stage. The best dancer know when to leave the stage, because they are those time that you are also able to see that I don't have energy anymore. They are better, young, energetic people. And there is always somebody who able to understand that, you know, a best dancer must know the time to leave, must know the time to leave the stage. Because if you look at, just look at the example of Namibia music industry, without any many calling of names, be able to see that there is always a new guy. There is always a new guy in the system. There are veterans who have been dominating the system, yes, indeed, but there is always a new guy in the system. There is always a new champion. There is always somebody young, fresh, energetic, with new gen, which does not really erase those who have been around for a long time. But in this case, it's indicating to you that in politics too, there are time for moving on, and also time to transit and give opportunity to other, particularly when it comes to succession plan. Let us look at the Ministry of Agriculture.
Die koop en verkoop van kommunale grond. Aandag inwoners van Namibië se kommunale gebiede. Hierdie is 'n belangrike aankondiging deur die Ministerie van Landbou, Visserye, Water en Grondhervorming. Luister asseblief aandagtig en deel hierdie boodskap met die familielede, bure en vriende. Stop die praktyk van die koop of verkoop van kommunale grond. Hoekom? Omdat kommunale grond in 'n Namibië staatsgrond is en onder geen omstandighede verkoop mag word nie. Enige betrokke transaksies in verband met die koop of verkoop van sodanige grond is onwettig. Sulke aktiwiteite word ten strengste deur die Wet op Kommunale Grondhervorming, Wet nommer 5 van 2002 verbied. Gevolge van onwettige grondtransaksies, regstraf, oortreders kan boetes en gevangenisstraf opgelê word, ontwrigting van gemeenskapsharmonie. Die koop of verkoop van kommunale grond kan tot grondgeskille en spanning binne ons gemeenskappe lei. Wat u moet weet, is dat kommunale grond behoort aan ons almal. Dit is 'n gedeelde hulpbron wat vir almal tot voordeel moet wees. Bewaar ons erfenis. Deur kommunale grond te respekteer, eer ons kulturele nalatenskap en beskerm ons omgewing. Rapporteer onwettige aktiwiteite. Indien u enige vermoede van onwettige grondtransaksies het, word u vriendelik versoek om dit aan die tradisionele owerheid, die kommunale grondraad of die naaste kantoor van die ministerie te rapporteer. Kom ons werk saam aan die bewaring van ons gemeenskaplike grondhulpbronne ten bate van toekomstige geslagte. Die ministerie aanvaar geen aanspreeklikheid vir enige verlies van grondhulpbronne wat mag voortvloei uit die onwettige koop of verkoop van gemeenskapsgrond nie. Onthou, kommunale grond is kosbaar. Kom ons hou dit veilig en verseker vir almal. Dankie vir die samewerking. Hierdie radioboodskap is met finansiële ondersteuning van die regering van die Republiek van Namibië en die Federale Republiek van Duitsland deur die Duitse Ontwikkelingsbank KfW vervaardig. Vir verdere inligting, kontak asseblief die naaste kantoor van die ministerie of die kantoor vir openbare betrekkinge van die ministerie van Landbou, Visserye, Water en Grondhervorming by die volgende telefoonnommer 061-208-7604.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are looking at our neighbor, South Africa. It was stated that the government of South Africa declared South Africa national disaster. South Africa national disaster over the flood and rains that have killed 30 people. And speaking about climate change, looking at what is happening in South Africa, looking at things which are happening in South Africa, realize to say there is terrible, dangerous, and also devastating flood that have killed 30 people. And South African government declare flood a national disaster. And also it was stated that South Africa has declared a national disaster over rain floods that have killed 30 people in the country of North. You know, damaged thousands of houses and also washed away roads. And also there is a statement from National Disaster Management Center that indicated what have happened, especially the impact of flood in provinces such as Mpumalanga and Limpopo, that side of Mpumalanga. And in that case, it was also stated that this flood and also unpredictable weather pattern has also impacted neighboring countries such as Zimbabwe and Mozambique in the past weeks. And it's quite dangerous. Maybe it's also coming this side. We need to be prepared. But those are some of the things which are happening. And also to indicate that there is ongoing rescue team which is searching for some of the people who are still lost, which is including a 5-year-old Siyanda Baloyi in South Africa. And apart from that, there's also lost vehicles. It was stated that, authorities in Ekurhuleni municipality, that is in South Africa, indicated that, they are missing vehicles that were swept away by flood. And there is also an ongoing search and rescue team going on, especially to those who are impacted by this unpredictable weather pattern. Yesterday, that business and economic segment, we were speaking about 2026 and climate impact, and also the role of young people, government, and state institution, particularly dealing with the impact of climate change. But looking at now, at the way things are standing, although there have been agreement, there have been commitment, especially from global leaders and also states when it comes to climate change commitment of reduction in terms of putting up or in terms of releasing greenhouse gases in the air, the atmosphere. And there's also commitment from developed world to put on the table billions of dollars, especially to support those countries who are impacted by climate change. But looking at how things are now, the United States of America is saying, no, we are not interested in that. And things such as, green energy, things such as advocating for climate change, those are schemes. And that's why the United States of America has pulled out of Paris Agreement. That is for the second time. And they also reduced and also withdrew their support from some of key United Nations agencies that also are responsible to fund, protect, and also to make sure that when it comes to the developing world, issues such as climate change and disasters are dealt with. But who is paying the price now? It's South Africa, it's Africa. And also, what will happen moving forward? And also looking at unpredictability in terms of weather pattern. We have to see. It's too early to judge. We have to see how the weather is going to be, how rain pattern is going to be, especially in 2026. Because looking at predictions, sometimes you see if you have that automatic weather prediction app, or you have been listening to predictions, sometimes you also see contradictory. It could be indication sometimes to say it will be raining in the next 2 hours. But after all, things remain how they are. But we are yet to see such, development. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at the issue of, United Nations and also survivors in Sudan. Then from there, we move forward. And do not forget that today, we are going to be joined by the Manager for Public Relations from University of Namibia, that is Simon Namesho. And if you have a question, please make sure that you draft your question. Make sure that you make it short, understandable, so that he will be able to engage with you, particularly that time that he will be able to join us from the hour of 7 until 7:15 there. Make sure that you prepare your question, because people have a lot of questions, especially regarding UNAM, regarding application, regarding registration, and he's going to come and clarify those queries. And it's quite important for you to have your questions ready, so that you will be able to ask him. Because, there are people who like speculation, and we also like spreading of information that are not yet verified, or just because you had half of the information, then you are spreading those information. But listening from the horse mouth, that will be interesting, and that is exactly what we are going to do
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And looking at the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, it's towering. It's moving around Sudan, meeting families and also, families of displaced people. And due to ongoing conflict and that have started in 2022. And looking at the accounts of people, the accounts of, impacted people by this war and also ongoing conflicts, the United Nations High Commissioner has indicated that there are horrific stories, especially from women and girls, looking at issues they have to endure, such as sexual violence, rape, and also unspoken pain, especially which have happened to the women of Sudan. And looking at previous statements, especially from UN, which indicated that the conflict in Sudan, of course, some of the worst humanitarian crisis in the world or in history, because be able to see that children are on their own, young children are on their own, parents, some of them are dead, some are raped in front of them, some are killed in front of them. There is no food, just chaotic, it's chaotic everywhere, and you're asking yourself to say, why country with so much wealthy in terms of natural resources end up into this situation? Why country with so much wealthy in terms of natural resources such as oil and gas end up in this situation? And also, looking at some of the things, especially in Africa, when it comes to wealth and also economic distribution, it does mean that if you are the richest country in the world in terms of natural resources, you are guaranteed that you're going to be developed, or you are guaranteed that your people are going to be advanced. It seems like when it's coming to what has been stated, that oil and gas can be a curse, like some of the countries or majority of the emerging countries with richness in terms of oil and gas, they find themselves in difficult situations, especially looking at war and also conflict. And this, looking at...
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 litre Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Cornflakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1 ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at WoermanBrock.com. We care.
Yeah, from my blog, we are moving forward, and we are speaking about Sudan. We are speaking about some of the richest countries in terms of resources, and we are saying these are the countries which were supposed to lead in terms of African development. These are the countries which were supposed to lead in terms of African unity. There were countries which were supposed to fund the African Union, but conflict become the center. And when it comes to the basic needs of individuals, you realize to say human beings are suffering. And looking also at the future, I've been speaking and indicating to say, when it comes to the next 5 years, we must be very careful, especially those who like starting conflicts, because if you start fighting, nobody come and rescue you. Nobody will come and also solve that conflict. Because when you look at United Nations, now it's underfunded, it's cornered, it cannot sanction any operation, and it's still negotiating with the superpowers. And superpowers are standing on their own. They are doing their things. And you can also see the charter and also the proposed Board of Peace that will be handed by inaugural chairperson or inaugural executive chairman, that is President Donald Trump of United States of America, and other countries also who are going to agree to have a seat in Board of Peace. And analysts are indicating that this draft charter looks like a communique that is showing the replacement of United Nations, or aim to weaken United Nations, because if you look at the principles of global governance, because the only institution which has been known for the past 8 years as champion of global governance and champion of multilateralism, and also when head of state go to UNGA, to the General Assembly, used to be known as World Cup of Diplomacy. But maybe what the summit of Board of Peace going to be called? It's going to be Alternative World Cup, or it's going to be Champion League of Diplomacy. How are things going to be? But you also need to see that there is an alternative. There is an alternative. There are new proposals. And you will be shocked who is going to join. You will be shocked who is going to join. How many countries are willing to pay $1 billion US dollars to sit there for 3 years? How many countries, and also what is the advantage also of aligning to that space? Because this world now is about who your friends are, and also about realigning yourself, and your friendship also determine who you should be in communication with. And I think when you scale it down to an individual, you can also realize that it's part of the way human beings are, because there is always a saying to say, enemy of my enemy is my friend. That is why, even as an individual, you sound contradictory. If you have two friends that are worst enemies of each other, although you don't need to inherit the hatred, but you also need to be very careful, because you will be caught in the crossfight. That is why when you read the Villager newspaper for yesterday, you will also be able to see opinionated papers, especially regarding issues such as long-term trade relations between the U.S. and also Africa, this known as AGOA, and also to look at what is the future of AGOA going to look like, and also who is continue to suffer in the next 5 years, because I think post-colonialism, we must admit that we did not move far, especially when it comes to coloniality of the mind, the way we think, and also the way we do things, because we always believe that solutions are outside. We always believe that you will not have a project lead consultant who is of your, indigenous people. There's always something like that. And some ideas, they sound wise, especially when they come from outside. But when it comes to our progress, you realize that little to nothing. And which means that we need to do more. And we must be very careful of the so-called expert advice. Because look at it this way. Almost 70 years or 60 years of African independence. And post-independence, they've been just like change of guards. You take those who are oppressed, you give them position, you maintain the system, you change it a little bit, and you give people political freedom to vote. Then in terms of economic system, things almost stay the same. Little have changed, but when it comes to decision, people are still impacted the way they've been impacted, particularly with maintaining of former colonial laws. And also ask yourself a question of development, not only development in terms of general development. Look at projects which have been established, either it's agricultural projects, either projects of constructions, either a project of building industries. How many of them become white elephant projects? How many of them are still standing now? And also, just go deep and ask to say, when you have this tender, for example, when you have this national projects, who are the people who are in charge of leading? Who are the consultants? Who are the drafters of plans? And who are the subcontractors? Then you realize to say that we had a lot of advisors. Either it's from World Bank, either it's from IMF, either it's from EU, which in some cases they are assisting. But in most cases you realize to say sometimes we were supposed to come to the point to say, yes, thank you very much, and can't we work parallel to each other? Or you have been advising me for the past 35 years, but it looks like I'm not doing well. Just imagine yourself having I don't want to say a wife, I don't want to get into trouble, but imagine yourself having a partner who you are planning to build a future with, but he or she has been giving you a lot of advices, but you realize that your life even become worse than when you were single, or worse than when you were in other engagement. But in that aspect, we must also go back and ask those questions to say, who is assisting me in development, and what is good for him, and what is good for me? Who is assisting me? Who is advising me? Who is planning? Is this person able to understand the needs of the people? Because when you look at analysis these days, and it has been stated, and it's not the first time this thing has been stated, to say you have a lot of committees, you have a lot of advisors, you have a lot of, advisory bodies, but it seems like that is an end of action, because if you look at, for example, in the context of Namibia, during the previous administration of the late Genkop, may so rest in peace, we had there was a point there was an A team. Then you have high-level panels on economics. Then you have advisors on youth matters, advisors on economic affairs, constitutional advisors. And at that point, you also have ministers. And you also have, imagine now you have an advisor on constitutional affairs, you have a minister of justice, at the same time you also have attorney general, then many other people also who are advising. By the time you make a decision, then it's going to be very difficult also, because you become a house of intellectual, and there will be intellectual debates, because one thing that you must agree is that when you put intellectuals together, theorists together, and you find little space for individual or institution to transform from speaking to practical application. Because if you have advisors within a committee of five professors, by the time they greet each other, it's already a debate. When it comes to program planning, it's already a debate. Me, I study in the US. Me, I study in Canada. Me, I have studied in Russia. This is not how we do it in China. Then by the time you are done, it's only a few months before end of the term. And we must really be careful with this thing. When we are receiving these advices from, when you are receiving this analysis from analysts, and this should be underlined too, because it's not only from analysts, it's from documents which have been produced even beyond the country. World Economic Forum, our own continental peer review mechanism have stated about these things. Maybe it's also now the time that we focus more on action. Because if I come and I have a problem with you, or I have a problem that you are the counselor, and I come to you, and I have a problem of either is not getting opportunity, either is not enough opportunity for schooling, or either is a problem of infrastructure, but what you're indicating to me is that I'm going to constitute a committee. And there will be two subcommittee. That committee will report to my administrator. Then I'll find the decision. And from there, after even finding that decision, you can also be able to see that there is a long line in terms of making a decision. There is actually a very long line in terms of making a decision. And this is what has been called, bureaucratic bottlenecks that need to be addressed. And we should not only continue speaking about them, but we should continue addressing them. Because the reason, I was looking at what had been happening in I don't know now if to call them veterans of the struggle, refugees, but Namibian who returned after independence, who returned to Namibia after independence. There was this ongoing commotion between Swapo Party and also those who have returned. Then when you are listening to the conversation, I'm also asking yourself to say, there are some questions that are really touching. Some questions that are really touching, and you're also asking yourself to say, how this person was supposed to be assisted? Why now? What are the measures in place? And what will happen moving forward? Because apart from that, at the general point of us moving forward in terms of where we want, in terms of our priorities, you also realize to say, we may look like we understand each other, but there is still a debate, or there is still no coming together between institutions of the state, private sector, and also civil society organization. We may look like we understand each other, but maybe 2026 will be that year that we'll no more complain about duplication of duties, but we'll be moving forward successfully. And yeah, looking at the issue of Sudan, get the issue of Sudan, also be able to see that in terms of the price of cocoa, in Ivory Coast there is unpredictability. There's also industries being in limbo due to prices, falling, especially when it comes to international market, and also when it comes to the industry of cocoa in Ivory Coast. And, I'm just starting to see it now, especially when you look at the Global Risk Report, because these researchers, these economists, they are futuristic, and when they are saying this is what you are going to face in 2026, it's not necessary to say this is what you are going to face from the 1st of January 2026, but with time, due to changes in the world and inevitable changes, particularly from the global perspective, in terms of the price of goods and also services. But we have to see, what needs to be done, and also how Africa is going to respond, because some of these changes in the price of goods and services, and Ivory Coast, Ghana, being also some of the largest producer of cocoa in the world. Also ask yourself to say, what have happened? What have happened? Is this because of realignment too? Is this because of new policies of trade? Is this because of the deep division between the East and the West? Is it because of tariff? Or is it because of national policies on trade? But those are things that we need to look at to say, when you see that the price of goods and services are going down, do not only look at one factor, do not only look at economic factor, so need to look at the politics factor, so need to look at the factor of trade, also need to look at the institutions which are involved, also need to look at the price of oil too. Because if you touch, for example, Venezuela, it may look like it's far away country, but you cannot ignore in the global trade a country which hosts 17% of global oil reserve, and the sale of that oil too can also impact the global trade, and also the logistics too, and also when it comes to the income. And maybe the question that we should continue to ask is that for how long things will continue to be like this? For how long things continue to be like this? Why are the African states not do what they say, especially when it comes to intensifying of value addition, intensifying of value addition, and also issues of agro-processing, and also maybe also to contextualize it too, to say, is it only happening in Ivory Coast or other countries which even if they are the dominant power in terms of supplying of that product, they're still finding it very difficult for them to to add value? Because I remember last year the Minister of Trade in Ivory Coast spoke about enough is enough. We must stop exporting of our raw materials, and we could have gained majority of the shares, especially from the global cocoa producer production. But due to them also not be able to add much value, their prices are going down. And it also impacted their economy and impact the way they do it at home. So in those countries, if you look at West Africa, if you also look at West Africa there, you realize to see countries, look at the young population of these these countries, people are still running to Europe. They are still running to the Middle East. Even though the International Organization on Migration continued to stop them, even though authorities in Spain, in France, they are, you know, upgraded to stop this. People are still moving. People are still dying in the sea because they want to leave home so that they find a greener pasture. But it's a concerning case, because when you are leaving to other countries, those rich people, they are leaving their country. They cannot wait to catch a freight to come to your country, so they do their investment, so they do their greenfield investment, so that they make more money from your product that you could have taken advantage of. That's why today, after we get into the conversation with Mr. Namesho, we'll be able to look at how do we move forward with what we have, how do we make the best of what we have in terms of our products. We're also going to look at some of the products that we have in Namibia that have been into existence for hundreds of years, but still no value added. Either it's beverages, either it's food, either it's other products such as minerals that we are still selling as raw. And also to look at the concerning issue of reduction of poverty.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and as I indicated, we'll be joined by the manager for public relations from University of Namibia. That is Mr. Simon Namesho from the Hour of Seven there, and he will bring about clarification, especially when it comes to admission, when it's coming to on point application and registration. And also other questions that you are going to have, so that we'll be able to move forward. And for those of you who dreamed and want to study at University of Namibia, your time is now for you to get those clarifications, because it's always very important for you to make sure that you have enough information, you understand the courses that you are going to study, especially market-related courses that are required And also, we also want to ask to say, what are the new development which are at University of Namibia, especially when it comes to new courses, and also what are the requirements which are needed, and parents also to understand, because I remember, you know, that time when I went to University of Namibia, they've always been, you know, parents, they don't really understand. They think when you're at University of Namibia, you're only doing 2 to 3 courses, and it's also quite important for us to have enough and also right information, especially from the horse's mouth. Yeah, looking at the aspect of development, looking at the aspect of economic development, you'll be able to see that Namibia, we have been downgraded since last year, and we have other standing things that we need to do, especially in terms of getting ourselves on track. And one of the reasons that Namibia have been downgraded is the value of diamond, which have been, you know, going down and continue to go down. And as the demand of diamonds in the world is going down, and you also be able to remember that when it comes to the beers, they are also selling their shares. And also asking yourself a question to say, when Angola want 80%, and Botswana want over 51%. And they're also inviting Namibia to be on board. Who is going to win? And also, is Namibia really interested? And some analysts are also saying, is it a dead horse? Why, after all those years, you are selling out the shares of the Beers? Is it a standing horse? Is it a dead horse? Or diamonds, or authentic and pure natural diamonds are still going to be in demand in years to come, or lab-made diamonds are the one who are dominating the market now. And apart from that, remember that we are given as a country until May to make sure that we put our house in order, especially in terms of illicit financial flow. Because remember, although we have been progressing in terms of addressing deficiencies in our financial system, we are still graylisted by Financial Action Task Force, and we'll be able, if we work so hard, especially Bank of Namibia, its Financial Intelligence Center, its anti-corruption, Namibia policing agencies, and also business people, if we work very hard, if we comply, if we are not continue with money laundering, if we are solving those complicated cases on time, then we'll be able to be removed from that grey listing. Because grey listing is not just for the sake of you being in that list, but it's also has to do with investors' confidence to come to your country, and also business confidence too. Because it's not only about investor, and also about those who want to trade with you. Because if you continue to be grey listed, then it's also showing that you are also not able to deal with your issue. And at the center of that, what we are not able also to realize is that at the center of that, one of the advice that have been given by Financial Action Task Force is to make sure that Namibia to finalize cases, particularly those cases that are dealing with illicit financial flow, cases of money laundering. And you're also asking yourself to say, looking at what have happened yesterday, I'm also asking yourself to say, when it comes to fish rot, when are these guys going to be, when are these guys, I don't want to say going to be sentenced, when is this case going to be finalized? And it's also one of the determining factor in our grey listing to say, if Namibia have best financial analysts and financial investigators that are able to deal with complicated cases, magistrate and prosecutors who understand cyber issues, who understand complication in terms of cases of illicit financial flow, then we are going to be removed from that. And you're also asking yourself to say, if South Africa is removed from that list, what is that we are not doing right? Because sometimes it's like you went to a football match with somebody that you underestimate, then he end up beating you. But dear listeners, in a short period of time, we will start with the time of University of Namibia, and stay tuned.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and our guest is here. As I indicated, today we are joined by the manager for public relations, that is Mr. Simon Namesho from University of Namibia. And, before education, before you choose a course that you want, first you need clarification, you need information, you need to understand also what is expected from you, you need time, but all are going to be clarified today. Mr. Simon, good morning and thank you for joining us this morning.
It's nice to be back in your red studio.
Yes,
All right, let me do that again. And yeah. Good morning, David, and good morning to your listeners. As I said, it's nice to be back in your red studio.
Yes, we are also very happy. We are very happy to have you here. And you are a very busy man. I see you on TV every day and on different platforms, especially giving information regarding courses and also some of the clarification which is needed based on University of Namibia. Let us start with the first question to say, UNAM has open walk-in and online application for 2026. Can you please explain who this opportunity is for and why it is important at this stage?
Thank you so much, David. And I think that's a good question to start off with. This opportunity is for prospective students, David,
yeah.
who did not apply earlier.
Yeah.
Those who applied but were unsuccessful as well,
mm.
as well as those who now have their final results and meet admission requirements.
Mm.
The extension is important because it gives eligible applicants a final chance to secure admission into available programs before registration closes. We do encourage applicants not to delay,
yeah.
as spaces are limited and are allocated on a first-come and merit base only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now there is a concept that is admission on the spot. What does admission on the spot mean in practical terms, and what documents should applicants bring with them to be considered for this, immediately? What are some of the documents which are needed? So when you speak about admission on the spot, what does it mean?
Mm.
Does it mean that I can come to University of Namibia today and get admitted today?
Yes, exactly. That's what it means in short, David.
Yeah.
Just as it says, admission on the spot. So admission on the spot means that eligible applicants can receive immediate feedback on their application. Applicants should bring their final school results, ID or passport copies, which are either certified and original ones as well, and any other relevant certificates that might you have acquired over the time if you have any.
Mm.
If they meet the requirements and space is available, David, they may receive full admission during the same visit.
Mm.
So you come that time, you give your documents, we look at them, and you indicate which course you want to apply.
Yeah.
If there is space and you meet the requirements, you get to be admitted full admission that time, and you go through the registration process. And as well as to add on that is to say, should you also at the same time meet the eligibility criteria for the 2026 subsidized funding, tertiary funding model, you as well will get that form and you'll be exempted from paying any registration fees, as well as your tuition fee for the 2026 academic year will be covered under this subsidized tertiary funding model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, you have those, and UNAM have been, or is still, an institution of our choice, and people try their best to get into University of Namibia. But let us speak about at the current moment where we are, particularly in terms of availability of space. Seems like you guys also got a lot of applications every day, every year. And are we still having some spaces available across programs and campuses? And how should applicants decide which program to apply for?
Yes, the short answer is yes, we still have space on a number of our programs.
Yeah.
Not all the programs, but a number of them, we have still space. Mm. Maybe to highlight that the schools in the Faculty of Health Sciences and Veterinary Medicine do not have any space anymore, as well as on our program for the School of Law, in the Bachelor of Law, also doesn't have space anymore.
Okay.
So any other course outside that, you are eligible to apply on the spot and get admitted.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there are available spaces in selected programs across various campuses. Remember, we have 12 campuses across Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
However, competitive and professional programs have limited capacity. So what we are saying at this point in time is that applicants are encouraged to consider alternative programs aligned to their strength,
okay,
as well as their career goals, and then to apply as soon as possible.
Mm.
Maybe what I can also mention here, David, is to say that we have a number of students that come to us at the registration points.
Yeah.
They've passed very well their final results, but it happens so that they might not have the required subject to be admitted in a certain course that they want.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to those particular students? They are advised by those officials, by that particular official, to say, no, look, you do not have, for example, you don't have physics to go into a chemistry program or bio medical program or biochemistry program.
Mm.
So what then they advise is to say, they will give you a list, an alternative list of programs which come close to what you want to go and do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will say, take this list, go home, look at them, ask around, research, go online, go on Google it or go on YouTube, look at this possible career and see perhaps, oh, I have seen David doing radio presenting on Eagle FM, and I always wondered how he came to do that.
Mm.
And so, what program is it? No, it's media studies. Is there still space? The answer is yes. So then the next day, you can then come back and register.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard and seen some students and some inquiries are saying, UNAM is turning away students, which is not the case.
Okay, okay.
They are just given a window to go and reflect on alternative programs. If either they don't have the required modules or the subjects, or they don't have the required symbols to go in their first choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think while we are there, you find really somebody who, for example, a person I did like social science, pure social science. Then after you pass, your grandfather is saying, no, it's medicine or nothing. But where does that thing... Where maybe that problem is coming from? Is it because at high school people are not giving right information? Or how did you capture that somebody who is an A student end up really not knowing what he or she wants?
I think, David, it's a multiple of factors that leads to that.
Mm.
I think one of them is a subject combination at high school.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not, maybe the school that you were at, or the region that you were at, or the circuit that you were in, didn't have the exact subject combination that will allow you then to go into the desired program.
Mm.
Either you didn't know or it was just not available at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think another one can lie on career guidance.
Yeah.
Perhaps you didn't benefit from a proper career guidance in terms of to say, if you want to go and do something in science, you need these particular subjects, chemistry, biology, and physics, and perhaps as well mathematics, I mentioned that. So you need those subjects for you to advance in any science.
Mm-hmm.
And then what maybe some people are saying, okay, I might have those, and then maybe your English needs to be at a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be sure that you are guided accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from those, it's just really about opportunity. Or when you applied, you might not have applied with the right modules.
Yeah.
Or when you applied, you didn't use maybe, or you what you used is maybe your August results.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were not admitted in that program.
Mm.
And then you think that's the end of the world. I'm not going to that program anymore. I want to change.
Yeah.
So that's not the case. We always encourage to say, the results of December, the one that was released last week by the ministry, your final results is what we will now look at for you to admit you in that program or into that course, either to update your past application or then to apply on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you find somebody who have applied, but that person was not admitted. Maybe the person did not perform very well during August, but after that, I performed very well. Do you still have opportunity for them, especially looking at this, you know, extended application period, particularly those who were not admitted? What options are available for them?
Absolutely, David. Those applicants should not reapply. Should not reapply. Instead, this is what they should do. They must submit their final examination results for the re-evaluation. Improved results may change their admission outcome depending on the program availability and merit merit-based as well. So just to expand on that is to say that David applied last year with their August results, was not admitted because of those results. Do not reapply to UNAM. What you should go is go to UNAM with your results. Either you have it physically or you just go with your ID or your student number and say, my name is David and I want to update my results. The university also has access to the results from the ministry. So if you don't have your statement of results, you don't have to worry or you don't have to travel all the way back wherever it was or wherever you schooled to go and get it and come to UNAM. UNAM would take you even if you don't have your statement of results. And then they will look at it, they will look at the results from the ministry's side because we have access to the system.
Okay, okay.
Then what is important to us is to say, within the first semester of this academic year, 2026, you are then requested to bring that statement of results. That will give you then enough time. But if you don't have it at this point in time, you can walk into UNAM, you can be admitted, and then we'll say, all right, you are now admitted to this program. Please make sure that you bring us your statement of results within this first semester of the 2026 academic year.
So you have access to the system already, even if I don't have my my results. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now let us look at you know, the walk-in application process. What is the relationship between you know, the walk-in application process to registration to class commencement later this month? Because people are overwhelmed. You come to an institution saying you're applying that time, you're admitted that time, and the people are starting class like next week or just few weeks to come. How is that working? What is the link?
In short, David, once admitted, students can proceed to registration within the official registration period. That period runs from the 12th of January until the 30th of January for the first year students. All right. So within that period, you can just be you can proceed for registration immediately. Classes begin shortly after registration. So applying now ensures students are not left behind academically. So classes for us, they will start on the 28th of January for the first year students. That's for the core semester. So just before that, we then say, all our students, make sure that you have you apply, you get admitted immediately. Do not then go home and sit, but proceed to register. Proceed, the registration process has a few steps. Make sure that you have something called a proof of registration. Only that document says that you are registered at UNAM. Don't stop anywhere midway of your registration process and think that I have walked into this point and then I walked out back home while you were at UNAM. Then you say yes, but you don't have a proof of registration. So please make sure that you do have that document with you.
Okay, now maybe at last, what is your key message to prospective students and parents who are still, you know, undecided or waiting until the last minute to apply? Because they are always a last minute team.
Yes, David. Our message is simple. Don't wait. Use this opportunity to apply. Apply now. Follow official UNAM channels for communications for all the latest information.
Just hold on 1 second. Just hold on.
Yes.
Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are with Mr. Simon Namesho. And maybe your last word, especially regarding to those who did not decide yet, parents and prospective students, then you can also maybe touch a little bit about the registration process, because some of us, when you come from high school, you go to UNAM, you find it so very difficult also, especially to get into the system. You stay in the line for 2 days, and you realize that it's not only you who want to get into the system, but everybody wants to get there. Maybe touch first on the undecided, then you also look at the aspect of resilience and also being in the queue for quite some time.
Yes. No, yeah. Thanks again, David. As I was saying, that our message is quite simple. Do not wait.
Yeah.
Do not wait at all. Use this opportunity. Apply now. Importantly, follow the UNAM official channels for all your latest information, and prepare for registration and classes. This is your moment to secure a place for 2026. On the aspect of when you are at UNAM, compared to most and many high schools, is a bigger space.
Yeah.
It's a bigger environment, busier environment, more people, etc. So we do understand that it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And sometimes the process can take long, depending what course or which school you are lining up for, or what is your just circumstances differ person to person. Sometimes you find somebody who was in the queue, it was just there for 30 minutes, and they are back home already with their proof of registration. And then with yours, because your circumstances differ, they will might say no, because you are advised this way, you didn't have this subject, didn't have this module, and then just by 10 o'clock you're already giving up. We do want to really encourage the students, our applicants, the prospective students, to be very resilient, to preserve, and just to be stand resilient, because what you encourage is to make sure that stick to your gun, be determined for what you came for.
Yeah.
If you didn't get an answer today, come back tomorrow. Come back the day after tomorrow. Sometimes you are advised to say the university is reviewing a certain aspect of a certain program. Please come back the day after tomorrow. Or they are looking at a certain number of students, maybe there's an influx in a certain program, and they want to review something around that program. Please do come back within a day or two. Make sure you do so. Come back the exact same day. Do not give up and say, I was there for 2 days, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Please do make sure, because sometimes some programs are really, really overwhelming.
Yeah.
The some of the lines can be a bit longer than usual. So we do encourage that you stick in there and make sure you get what you want. Have your answers also at hand. Have your student number ready always.
Yeah, and then I also look at it as a test of characters, because there's still 4 years ahead of you once you get into the system. And I think, no, it's interesting actually. But, Mr. Simon Namesho, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And also thank you for that clarification.
Thank you so much for having me, and we look forward to having all our prospective students, and hopefully to see you there back soon as well, David.
Definitely. I want to be a professor also one day. All right. Thank you.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The Eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. You are listening to Mr. Simon Namesho from University of Namibia, where he gave clarification, especially to prospective students, parents, and also those who want clarification regarding admission to University of Namibia. The time is still there. Get time, get your documents in order. And also what he mentioned is also that when it comes to the aspect of you not having your statement of result, they have access to the system. They have access to the system. You can still go and register, especially if you have your other relevant document. But what is necessary is also that they will have access to the system of Ministry of Education. And on top of that, you will also be given a time to produce your statement of results. And on top of that, it's also testing of characters. Because what I've seen, and I think it's also applied to all institutions, is to say, there's also a testing of character to say you will be in the line without water. You will be even in the wrong line sometimes. But if you are resilient, if you are tough enough, you get that opportunity to get in. Because imagine what you are thinking is also what other thousands and thousands of Namibians are thinking. And it's not only you who have passed who has passed the A level or who is admitted, but it's many others. And yeah, let us look at the short commercial break, then we'll continue with the conversation for today. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401, and the time is 22 minutes past the hour of 7.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
staff. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe, and listening from University of Namibia. we are pushing to say how can we move forward with what we have, with who we have, and also with the resources that we have, because we have seen that in many cases, advancement in terms of countries' development. And when you speak about countries' development, we don't just speak about countries' development in terms of general development, but we mean the upliftment of people's lives. When you speak about upliftment of people's lives, we realize to say that how should we move forward with what we have, because other countries have decided to move forward with what they have decided to utilize their own resources. And I was actually very happy. I'm somebody who and also respect Namibian intellectual, and also respect Namibian human capital too, because I was watching City of Windhoek having an induction, and one of don't know if it's to call it a leading consultant and speaker there is Professor Dicho. And in my mind, I also start to think to say, why can't it be done so often that we have many other public intellectual Namibians from abroad or even here at home who are coming at home to solve social problems, who are coming at home also to assist, because those are exactly the resources that we want to say. If you have best Namibians out there, let us use that resources for the benefit of Namibians. Because if you speak about governance issues, and City of Windhoek is our city, and we must make sure that it is in order as applies to other, towns. Because I've also seen, I was also listening partially, especially to Tadesa Nkwasa, speaking yesterday, especially speaking about land and also auction of land by towns. And you realize to say, if we can look internal, we still have the best people that can be able to assist and take Namibia forward. If you look at our institution, either is industry that require engineers, why can't we look inward first? If we want Namibia to get forward, what we need to make sure that we get right is leadership. How is the aspect of leadership? Instead of fighting the leaders who are out there, how can we assist them to take us somewhere? Because we think, and it's actually wrong, especially when you are all in developmental journey, you are all in a journey that is not only to say we support free and subsidized education, but we also support free, subsidized, quality and applicable education to the industry that is able also to assist in terms of expanding the economy and also persuasion of citizens, citizens' happiness, because the aim of the state has been stated very clearly is to say is for the promotion of the greater good of human beings, and that is happiness. And let's get it right to say when and I'm also start to get it well to say when we speak more on foreign direct investment, and actually in the studies of development studies, there was never a country which was developed due to foreign direct investment. If there was a country as such, Democratic Republic of Congo would be the most advanced country in the world, because they receive a lot of FDI. But why are they not advanced? We need to look at the intention behind somebody from outside to come and put your house in order. He may be able to assist you, but if you are not able to assist yourself, you will never ever put your house in order. And there is this thing when a leader is not doing very well, we look at replacing that leader with another leader. But maybe we were supposed to look into the system to say, why in this institution, why in this, there we have stable SOEs in Namibia, and SOEs are the drivers of development in any other country. You look at China, their SOEs are the backbone of the country's development. They are even operating beyond the state. But before we go to doing with what we have, or moving forward with what we have, developing with what we have, using a tool that we have to solve our challenges, let us look at USAF and go forward.
Short on cash? Get to a USAF for a bargain combo of 5 for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. 2.5 kilograms Champion Super Maize Meal, 2.5 kilograms Bokomo Fat Cooked Flour, 2 kilos Nice Rice, 2 kilos Marathon White or Brown Sugar, and 1 kilogram Grande Macaroni or Spaghetti. That's all for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. Hurry to your favorite USAF. We all say at USAF.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are looking about how do we move forward with what we have. How do we assist ourselves with what we have? How do we look internal? Because we must by now be very clear that although global relation matters, although forming friendship and trade relations with other countries matters, the solutions to our own problems are found within us. If you want to fight cybercrime, although we are not expert in cybercrime, one of the researchers, African researcher, and that is Biri Sarekani, indicated that in most cases, when we become a victim of cyber attacks, it's the weak link, which is a human, which means that you must have somebody within who has allowed the infiltration of that system. You must have, or you must be you as an individual, who have allowed you to be scammed, because a scammer cannot scam you without your permission, your unintended permission. That's why in most cases, when somebody is saying the future is in your hands, when somebody is saying you are the driver of your own vehicle, and when somebody is saying you are the determiner of your own destiny, how are Namibians determining their own destiny? And looking at that aspect, especially when I was looking at City of Windhoek, and I look at one of the presenters there, being that the Professor Dicho, I was actually very happy. And also to see that it's not only him, we need the best Namibians out there to be able to be used and to bring back to Namibian as a country. And I was looking at a list of most educated people in Namibia. And you can argue with me, particularly at this point in time, most educated Namibians, in terms of qualification and accomplishment too. Then you have Professor Dicho in the top 5. You have Tatepea Mosherenga, doctor, with I think 12 university degrees. You have post-colonial. Then you have Professor Job, and you have also the Vice Chancellor of University of Namibia, and also many others. But when you look at the top 10 most educated Namibians, you can argue with me, but you'll be able to look into that to say, now, apart from having the top educated people in the country, are we utilizing other resources that we have for the sake of development? We see we have best doctors, and I was looking at few literature, and I also observed from a distance, actually, from a distance, particularly from the medical fraternity. Then I look at the work of Dr. Ngamwe. Then I also look at the work of you know, Dr. Dume, then I realized to say, you know, we have incredible Namibians that do very incredible jobs. But if what are we doing with what we have? Are we supporting them? Are we mentoring other people? Because we need the thousands of Dr. Dumes in Namibia. You agree with me? Because for us to look forward, we need a vision. And for us to have a vision, we must be able to see what the future looks like. And having the best doctor who even shocked the world, it's not only us in Namibia, but are we utilizing the resources that we have moving forward? Yes, you can be able to call back at 083-288-401 or 83-288-401. Then you'll be able to give your input so that we can be able to give your content and also context, and also to say moving forward, because we are very tired of moving around the world. We have attended all the summits. People rejected us. Some they have assisted us, but with ulterior motives actually. And we are also looking at our population, very small population, regardless of our resources. See that the world, although the world is our friend, we are also coming to the point that we need to take ourselves very seriously and also look inward. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Shombe. Good. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Yeah. Thank God for the opportunity. So now, if we have those...
You must also thank somebody who accepted your call, but it's fine.
Yeah, actually, I say thank God for you.
Okay.
I thank God for you.
Okay.
Granting me that opportunity.
Okay.
So if you have got so much resourceful people...
Yeah.
Like you are saying...
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. Is Dr. Disho, Professor Disho back?
Yeah, he's back.
Oh, he's back.
I don't know for how long, but I'm seeing his work that he's doing.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So let me be attending his public lecture.
No, you must.
Maybe we'll continue with those things.
Yeah.
But when you look at those platforms now, you maybe now this time is changing. Because usually you don't see most of the young ones there who are also resourceful people to be attending those public lectures and things like that. So maybe this time around it is a turning point. We might be seeing them a lot. And if that is the case, what is the why is it that not, maybe they are not utilized fully? If they are there, or maybe are they in the wrongly positioned, or what is it?
Wrong position, what do you mean?
I said, for example, those the Professor Dishos and others, of course, maybe they are making impact in life of the people, but many a times we are saying as if we are lacking those that capacity. Where are we letting them, or why are they not perhaps utilized properly, or in, are they not strategically positioned, or what would be the issue?
No, it's not a matter of, in my view, it's not a matter of being strategically positioned, but if you have rare skills that are needed, because when you have rare skills that are needed, whether it's not about strategically position, it's like you are the only person to say to come and solve this problem. It's not about being strategically positioned. If you have the only best doctor of eyes in Namibia and you have a problem of people are losing their sight, it's not about whether she or he is strategically positioned, whether you agree with her ideology or not. But the thing is, when it comes to national interest, you must... come to the point and saying we need more of these people.
Yeah, there might be more of them there.
Yeah,
but how do you then position them so that they can contribute more?
Yeah,
than they do now.
No, it's actually a very good question, because resources, unutilized resources, is not only the regret of the current generation, but it's also for the future of Namibia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's when we come in with sustainable development.
Mm-hmm.
So to contribute to the current issues,
mm-hmm.
solve the current problems,
mm-hmm.
and also to ensure mm-hmm. or perhaps to sustain
mm-hmm.
that move
mm-hmm.
for the future development.
Yeah, because I think when I was reading this, it's a team building program actually. It's a team building program, and he facilitated the team building program. It's management and counselors also of City of
yes.
Windhoek.
Because my belief is that sometimes you have the leadership there,
yeah,
who are doing their best. And then the issue here that is more burning on my side is on management level.
Yeah.
So if you capacitate the managers, those on the management level,
yeah,
and those also on the production, because management will obviously triple down to the production level.
Yeah.
Those three levels are more important. But then when we see most of the time, we just say the leadership, then we forget about these managers.
Yeah.
So who are to personalize the issue, who are now to really seriously coordinate, although their roles sometimes are overlapping, but that's not an issue. But to concentrate more on management, who are there now to seriously account and make sure that they administer those issues properly, ethically. And we might also not see a lot of problems because they are really doing their work. But if the leaders have crafted the vision and managers are not running that vision to promote it, then you might still experience some problems for really implementing issues, because the implementation, they are always quoting it as a major issue, as a major problem.
Indeed.
I don't know now whether it's because of what is it that the maybe the failures on that area. And if you are not taking them to account because of those failures, and we might keep on blaming the leadership, which are not really the cause of the failure. Yeah, of course, they cannot just go free. They have to take some blame,
because if you are the captain of the ship, you are number one to blame, because you are the one who is driving. They should not take some blame. They should take 80% of the blames, because if you are leading me, you must be able to provide direction of where I'm coming from and where I'm going.
Yeah, I was listening to His Excellency President Nandin Daito.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
On the TV, and she was still concerned of the bills that are not passed, the law that are not passed, and her concern is always, even last time she was saying that there are deliberate effort to hinder those progress. And if these things is coming from the top leadership, political leadership, and it's actually the parliamentarians who are there, perhaps debating issues and delaying issues for implementation or those bills to be passed into law, and things, they seem to be, people are doing it deliberately. And these are not, even when it comes from there, that maybe parliament is a different cycle, but those that are passed already, the acts that are already promulgated, and they are not being enforced. And her concern is that maybe people are doing deliberately to fail the system. How do you then remove that blame from those who are implementing the things, or of those who are supposed to pass the laws? If they are doing it deliberately, then what is it that you should do there? to make sure that they don't act in anti-croc.
Anti-crocwise.
Okay.
And I think it's a very fair argument. It's a very fair argument. And when you look at, I think that point was raised, and two opposition leaders they commented to say we want clarity, we want scrutinizing those laws and all these things. But you also need to look back and also say it could be that. Maybe this is going to be the most engaging parliament. Let me give you a practical example of what happened, for example, with Public Enterprise Act, the PEGA Act of 2019. To say that act was drafted and changed many times, and up to now it's frozen, and people are still discussing. But when you look at 2019, to say, in terms of providing strategic direction of SOEs and also the relationship with government, for things to flow, there was even a point where we had a ministry. But what have we done with that act? Is it are the SOEs following that act? And why is it so frozen now? And also ask yourself to say, did we not, what happened in the previous administration? Because I think to me, it's more than laws. It's more than laws. Although laws are at the center of, enabling development. Because if you look what have happened since 2008, for example, to say, challenges that we have been facing, there was a time where we had control of the majority, where the ruling party had control of the majority in the parliament. But I think we need to look that.
But were the laws not being passed speedily there during that time?
But what is the state of development in terms of that? Apart from law, have we implemented?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If the crafting of, if the laws are crafted, formulated very well there, and they are passing into, and those bills are passed into law, and the people are not implementing them, it's perhaps lack of clarity that you're talking about, or is it, if it did, that is the issue, then they can be explained properly as to how they should be implemented, because you also have the implementation action plan, and if those things are not being adhered to, maybe that's where now you need to come in forcefully and say, why are you not doing that? Should we take them to account?
Okay.
If we are not taking them to account, could that not also be blame on us? We are there not to administer those things, and we are not putting them into force. So maybe those areas also need to be looked at.
Indeed.
So that we can move speedily.
Indeed.
So thank you very much. In South Africa, we just need to pray, and because it's becoming, climate change there is becoming a serious issue. And climate change is also one of the critical areas that should be really addressed. Because you might not know when it will catch up with us, even though geographically perhaps we are a bit lucky that he plans, but we just need to be on lookout and put some disaster measures in place in case he takes us on our way.
Indeed. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 49 minutes past the hour of 7. And we have enough minutes. We have enough minutes. You still engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. How do we move forward with what we have? How do we use the best resources that we have so that we can develop our own? There is a very interesting, professor of... It's a very interesting professor of economics
and also public policy analyst from the U.S. And he has been working at United Nations as part of Sustainable Developmental Goal lead there. And you must look especially the difference between public intellectual and governance. You must be able to look at his position and his stand with the policies of Donald Trump and also with the policies of John Biden and Obama too. And apart from that professor is Jeffrey David Sachs. Jeffrey David. And you must also look at the views of Jordan Peterson and politics of the U.S. and also global affairs. He's a professor of psychology, former professor of psychology at Harvard University. And you see that the voice of the intellectual sometimes are able to assist in terms of the structure and also the governance issue, because the good thing what America did is that they have allowed freedom of intellectuals, unlike in Africa. Because if an intellectual point out the figure, or intellectual point out a challenge that to say, no, the system is failing here, we need to fix it. The tone, and you see also the great, then you realize to say sometimes for us to move forward, we need a painful advice. That's why I'm always telling people to say, if you really want me to learn, please advise me. I can have ego issue to say, why is he talking about, does he or she think I do not know? But after all, I have to learn. It's the same with our system. If we speak about having a lot of committees, it's our own issues as a country, it's our own issues to say, why can't we reduce on those committees if we have a lot of advisors? Why can't we have a few impactful advisors? We have done it with ministries, and it was commendable to say you need a smart few team you can consult, but straightforward people that can be able to make an impact. Look at Parliament of India. Look at the Cabinet of India. India's population is almost equivalent to the whole continent of Africa. Look at how many ministers they have. Look at how many ministers they have. Then you'll be able to understand that sometimes it's not about numbers. It's about authenticity and also qualities. That's why things must be done internal. And the effective military personnel in the world, they believe in the power of a small team because it's easy to coordinate. Look at what have happened in the Middle East. Although it's not inspirational from the intervention of the West, the success of few missions, you see that how many people are sent there. They send the best. They don't send everybody. They send the best. So that is exactly what we are discussing today, to say how can we move forward with what we have and how can we utilize our resources. Do we have talent in Namibia? Yes, we have talent. But how can we move forward with what we have? We need to fund those talents. Do we have musicians? Yes, we have musicians. But the reason we have our musicians turn into comedians, not really because they wanted to be comedians, but in the sense of turn into, they just become, they become a laughing stock. Because if you are a musician and you do not have support, and we see things that they also sing, but if they were supported, they would be somewhere. if we are really serious about sport, we spoke about that many times. And I remember, was it 2020? 2020, I think it's 2023 there. But I cannot remember on top of my head. And our current president was very angry. That time she was, I think, a minister. And she was called to speak about sport. And she was not very happy with the advice of the former minister of sport. To say, no, I was lied to. Especially this aspect of stadiums. But maybe let us hope that for us to be included in the tables, particularly in hosting AFCON, we must prove that we are able to do it also at home. Why can't we use the best of what we have at home? If we have the best player in SADC region, why can't we have the best national team in SADC or in Africa also? Because remember, if we are not using what we have, if we are not upgrading, for example, talent, let me speak about football. And I'm speaking this from the point of reality. In the next 10 years, Peter Shaurire is going to, Dion Hotto, they are going to reach their peak, or they are already reaching their peak. There will be a need of somebody else in the system. And who is going to fill that gap? Are we going to have a vacuum? Because it must be very clear, they are going to be old one day. In the next 10 years, and that is the nature of football, they are going to reach their peak. When they reach their peak, or maybe in the next 5 years they reach their peak, then they start stable or retire. Then you need somebody to fill that. In the next, 20 years, the expert of Dr. Ngamwa, the expert of Dr. Ndume, they are going also to reach retirement, and they are going to find their way in the comfort of their houses. Who is going to fill that gap? You will need somebody to fill that gap, but it's only going to happen if we work with what we have, if we upgrade our talent. And it's the same with the professors and others, but we need more than what we have too. To say, if you have Peter Sharurede, who is the best footballer in SADC region, then you need Sharurede plus to fill that gap. And in that aspect also, for you to produce that, you also need to make sure that you don't only speak about it, you don't only train one person, but you have a well-established football team, you have stadiums, you have infrastructure, and that can only be done if we are using few, straightforward, and practical people. Because otherwise, believe me, I'm not somebody who want Namibia to fail. Actually, I do not want that. Especially, I'm somebody who want the best for Namibia. But if we are, the pace that we are moving is how we are going now, we'll never be removed from that grey list in May. Because May is already tomorrow. January, which has been the longest month in the history of months, is already going down. And remember that after January 2026, you will not see it. And that is how fast life is. That's how fast life is. Every hour, every second, every minute, if you are still continue discussing, people are dying of hunger. People are dying of hunger. Young people are in the street, looking for an ethical way of surviving throughout the day. But we could have done better, and we can still do better. But that is a conversation for today, and also we can expand it beyond the main conversation, and also to see that can we increase that the speed of that bus called Namibia that is moving toward the destination of that's called Vision 2030. At least to 200 kilometers per hour, because we are already late, and we need to make sure that we reach that destination, and also need to make sure that we have a mechanic on board who is checking the progress of the system, and that mechanic is a strong monitoring and evaluation a tool of analysis that is also measuring our progress. So that will bring us to the end of our conversation. And I'll leave you in the good hands of the big mic. I'll give the mic to the big mic in Ndangwa to unpack the day. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around.